Welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload podcast. I'm Cliff Saran, and today I've invited Annette Zimmerman, an analyst at Gartner, to speak to me about PC hardware lifecycle and sustainability. So Annette, would you mind giving our audience a little background about yourself and your work at Gartner, please?
Sure, and thank you for having me. I've been working for Gartner for over 10 years. I've been covering different types of technology markets, including wireless technologies, mobile technologies, hardware, but also since a few years, I've been looking at the very important topic of sustainability, environmental sustainability in particular. And we've also been looking at various types of new emerging sustainability enabling technologies that are coming out recently and will help to drive circular economy and reduce carbon emissions, as we're all basically on the mission of reducing carbon emissions globally to achieve the global goal of staying below the 1.5 Celsius global warming increase.
Warming, yes, yeah. So, yes. I've been looking at the PC industry for many, many years, and it does seem that, you know, the industry seems to be moving in one direction, while the where we need to be in terms of sustainability and green is almost opposite where the hardware industry is heading. I'd just like to ask you, just to start with, what is the useful life of a desktop computer? I mean, you know, so they used to say 5 years or whatever, and what about a laptop?
Right. So yeah, a desktop we would say probably 5 years, maybe even a little bit more. And for a laptop, we usually see 2 to 4 years, but I would say the majority is going for three years, and the average is 3 years, yeah.
I know in certain firms I've worked in, this hardware just seems to be handed down. You know, it starts as a high-end machine and then it ends up on my desk or as my laptop, as this big heavy thing that's many, many years old. But I wanted to ask you about what are the business benefits and the return on investment of upgrading? Because, you know, there is this thing that the hardware does actually last a long time, or it can do.
Yeah. So we would say that the main benefit really is the increased productivity and staying really on top of the latest security features in hardware and software, because in more and more we're seeing that in laptops and also desktops, hardware improvements that could be on the chip level, for example, are going hand in hand with software. So the patches, the security patches, do not only come from software, but also from certain hardware features. And so if you have a laptop that is really old and outdated, you might not be able to get to the latest security features.
That's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, just security is never going to go away. But on the other hand, we have this need to become more sustainable. It does seem to be, you know, a bit of a conflict there.
Yeah. So we've been thinking about this topic also a little bit lately, and we've come up with, well, it's five different steps that you could take. Maybe not all of them at once, but probably some of them are feasible together. So the first one is, of course, it's relatively straightforward, which is just increase the lifetime of laptops. So and not by maybe twice the time, but maybe just by another year. So going from 3 years to 4 years is already a big step. And with a big step, I really mean in that, we're according to our data, Gartner market share data, we shipped 50 million business laptops in 2021, 50 million units.
Yes.
And interestingly, Microsoft just published a few calculations, and I kind of validated them, and I think that they're very reasonable in saying that the average business laptop generates about 350 kilograms in its lifetime in carbon emissions. So 50 million laptops times 350 kilograms is 17.5 tons of carbon, being generated. And if you just extend the year of a laptop or the lifetime of a laptop for just by 1 year, there's a great potential that you can already reduce basically right then and there. And I have to say that of those 350 kilograms of carbon, about 75%, so three quarters of those emissions are actually derived during the manufacturing process. So then the last quarter then comes from the actual use.
Just to interrupt you slightly on that, that any organization that extends the life of the laptop by a year is getting, you know, effectively 25% more life out of it, or 30% more life out of it. So that does mean that there's, you know, over time there is a saving to be had, because you're keeping that equipment longer.
Yes, that's true. And I think that's also one of the big drivers. I mean, being more sustainable and reducing your costs, may it be just energy costs or in these terms, the hardware cost, is actually a top priority. Both of them, they go hand in hand. Yeah.
You mentioned there were some other points as well, because you referenced the Microsoft research and the things that you'd validated at Gartner.
Yes. So that the first point was around the extension of lifetime, and then the other steps could be potentially to actually look into buying refurbished devices. I know you wanted to discuss that as well, also to look at buying maybe lighter devices. So those that are potentially reduce your carbon emission by needing less energy and are just in general more efficient. As another step could be to look at going more for cloud applications that run on zero waste data centers like Azure, Microsoft.
Sorry, you mentioned a couple of things there, but let's start with, I'll leave the second user hardware for a moment, but going to applications and the move to software as a service and things like that, and having lighter weight hardware. I mean, for me personally, I run everything within browsers. Most of what I do is, you know, browser-based stuff anyway. But, you know, if I wanted to use an application like Excel, I would use the Office 365 suite or Windows 365 suite or whatever. Now, that's just me personally, but, you know, there are colleagues who, you know, will always click on the full application and wait, you know, 20, 30 seconds or whatever for the thing to load. It's and the browser one, even though it's much more lightweight from a desktop, you know, or a laptop PC perspective, it's almost, you know, if you're not using the full functionality of the full application, why do you need it? And I'm just wondering whether, you know, people do actually sort of consider, has there been a change, you know, in businesses as we make more use of browser-based and SaaS-based applications?
Yes, we definitely observing, and there are certainly also regional differences, geographic differences, but we were seeing more and more enterprises moving more to cloud-based applications. We're seeing hybrid implementations, both so basically a mixture of on-prem and the cloud. There are certain verticals also that are probably less prone to adopt this very fast. Thinking here of verticals like healthcare. So it really depends on which industry we're looking at. Healthcare are more prone to have still more on-premise applications and services. Because of the data security issues around it. But certainly there are other, and manufacturing would be another vertical where we see more still on-premise rather than cloud. But cloud is really becoming more and more adopted, certainly in industries like media or high tech. Yeah.
But it's also about, you know, whether the, you know, the client application is a thick client or a thin client application. And, you know, things that I've looked at, but that we've just been talking about, you know, there are cases for the end user, not, you know, just to have some kind of access via, say, a smartphone or a browser, or instead of a requiring a laptop, you know, and the power of a laptop to do their work.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a really interesting point, because it also requires, of course, you know, that the user, really down to the single user, there's a lot of change needed, right? Behavioral change. And you know, we need to get used to, and you mentioned, you know, that, you know, sometimes there can be significant delays. We need to get used to this new environment, certainly. And that's also definitely a challenge that we still see. But we're getting there, I think.
Yes, yeah. So you mentioned second user hardware. Mm-hmm. Should enterprises consider them? Should enterprises consider second user hardware?
Yeah, of course. The biggest challenge with that is that you know, you need to do it in a safe way. It's different from a consumer, and I've been looking at the consumer refurbished market for many years, actually. And you know, it's not as simple as, you know, as an in-person going on eBay and looking for the, you know, a refurbished iPhone or whatever device or Android. But you know, enterprises have different requirements. They have very specific requirements, and they need to actually find the right devices that are available and that are in a good condition and that have been refurbished, hopefully by a certified vendor, and so that's already the first hurdle here, that the basic availability of these enterprise grade devices, and that they have been refurbished well enough, and of course I believe that this is where the market will be going in the next 2 years, where we, you know, if we are really serious about the circular economy, meaning, you know, we want to avoid using more and more resources that we can need to gather, but we want to recycle and refurbish more and more products and dispose of them safely and all of that. You know, if you want to be serious about that, then we need to think about this more circular economy, where I can purchase a secondhand device, a enterprise grade device that meets my requirements as an enterprise, and at the same time, you know, it's been safely refurbished, and you know that the data has been wiped, and all of these issues that you need to consider. Yeah.
And of course, there will be, I mean, going back to where we started, and we're talking about the reason people upgrade, businesses upgrade, is because, you know, one of them is the idea that the newer hardware is more secure. So if they're at some point, you look at Windows 11, you need to be on a certain level of processor, right, and whatever to get that operating system. So there will be enterprises who buy sort of hardware today, or maybe last year, that it's still valid, but it's not perhaps a best fit for them anymore. You know, they've outgrown that piece of hardware, but the hardware has got the required security level to, you know, that's needed, say, for this operating system, right, Windows 11. If it were to go into the circular economy, then I guess there's an opportunity for another business to buy those laptops or those desktops and have a secure laptop without having to buy a brand new one.
Yes, exactly. That would be the optimal cycle, so to say, and that would be that is something that also the hardware vendors should be supporting, and more and more are doing so. I mean, Lenovo has a take back program, so to say, and Dell has a whole business for corporate asset disposition, and so Dell and Lenovo being the top vendors for business grade laptops. I think this is important that they expand this business and make these devices available, as well as help all their customers basically to take those back and give them an option to dispose of these devices that they don't need anymore. And mm-hmm. of course, it's a business that is definitely growing, and there's, yes. there's demand for it. At the same time, of course, there's also some risk, of course, for these vendors involved in that. You know, you never know in what condition you get those devices mm-hmm. back, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same. It's the same risk that in the consumer space that we've seen for many, many years now, that that the business is driven by having basically getting hold of devices that are in good shape and yes. you can still make money of them, and those are still profitable and are worth being refurbished. Of course, there's also a lot of scrap being returned or sometimes things just break, and so that is, of course, the business risk that is inherent in there. Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine is a local IT manager, and he was talking about how they take all the laptops and desktops back and they dismantle mm-hmm. them so that they have a whole load of parts, so that when something breaks, mm-hmm. there's a inventory of things, like you need a disk drive, or you need keyboard, that's whatever it is. There's a whole load of stuff that they then can pull together to make a Frankenstein mm-hmm. PC, for want of a better word. But I can see that, I personally have sort of reused, bits and pieces, and there's all the hand-me-downs, you pass it through to your family members or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. would you do that? Do you tinker, or do you hand down to, your friends and family, the oldest, or would you buy from eBay? What about yourself? do you deal in the second user market?
You mean what I would do privately?
Privately.
That's definitely an interesting concept, and that actually goes directly into the in the topic of right to repair, right? That has come now to the UK, and it's being currently still in debate in the EU and the US and so on. So it's something that I think we're moving into that direction. Would I personally try that? I'm not sure. I would probably rely also on my teenage nephews that are very savvy in that direction. And one is actually currently trying what you just described, not with a laptop, but at least with a smartphone. And again, this is another way to extend the lifetime of a device that is, that's where only maybe a small thing is broken, and it could still be extended by 1 or 2 years. And that, again, would obviously help the environment again.
Of course, yes. Well, Annette, thank you ever so much. It's been fantastic talking to you this afternoon.
Thank you. Yeah, this was really fun. It's a topic that is very close to my heart, and it was great discussing it with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you've been listening to the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload Podcast with Cliff Sarin and Annette Zimmerman. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.